Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to talk about a few things that are specifically Christian. Grace, hope, and the forgiveness of sins. Grace and the forgiveness of sins are explicitly Christian. The fact that you can do nothing to earn your own salvation, but all of it is a free gift of Jesus Christ, is foreign to all other religions. Hope. In a world that is so destitute, in a world that has forgotten what a godly death is, we in the church remember that we have hope. Death is not our end. Death is swallowed up in victory by the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so rather than fear death, we look forward to everlasting life with hope. Our Old Testament lesson is a completion of the story we first heard last Sunday. God sent Elijah to be with this widow, a woman who had already lost her husband. God would use Elijah to provide for them. This woman, when Elijah met her, was out gathering sticks to make one last meal before she would die and before her only son would die. And Elijah gives her hope. God uses Elijah to proclaim the fact that the jars would not be spent. No, in fact, they would continue to have food. And it is in this context, then, that the woman's son dies. Not from starvation, no, they did not run out of food, but rather he received an illness so severe that there was no breath left in him. And the woman cries out to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." Now she should have known better. Here was a man of God that she already proclaimed to be a man of God. A man of God who proclaimed who God was and caused her to continue living. But God allowed her son to die. God is the author of life. And while death is not a part of his original design, for death is outside of what he desired for us, death is now a reality, not just for that widow's son, but for all of us, because of Adam's great fall into sin. Because Adam failed, we are all doomed to sin and even death. That is now our curse. God allowed this boy to die that his will might be carried out. Elijah takes the boy, and he cries out to God, "O Lord, my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" He stretches himself out on top of the boy three times and then prays, "O Lord, my God, let this child's life come into him again." God heard his prayer. He used his prayer that his will might be done, and the boy became alive. That which was dead was now alive again. A proclamation of God's word. The Lord listened, and he revived the boy. Elijah took the child and brought him down and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. And while I might stand up here not able to revive someone from the dead, trust that the word of God that he uses me to proclaim is still the truth. Even though I am a sinner, even though I fall short of this grace, God still uses your pastor to proclaim his word. He uses your pastor when his word is proclaimed over simple water to not be plain water anymore, but rather a life-giving water in baptism. He uses your pastor, he borrows his voice to proclaim that your sins are forgiven, and in that holy absolution they truly are. God uses your pastor to proclaim that this bread and wine is no longer just bread and wine, but it is the means by which Jesus gives us his own true body and blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins. I can't resurrect from the dead all of the people who might have died, but I can proclaim these things. And our hope is not right now. Our hope is in the future. Because while I might not be able to resurrect anyone from the dead, Jesus Christ does. On that final day of resurrection, all those who have gone before us will be raised. And we'll get there after we talk about our gospel lesson. I really want you to put yourself in the position of these hearers in our gospel lesson. Jesus is traveling with the crowd. And as he's traveling with this crowd, he sees this woman and in this great crowd of people processing in a funeral procession. This community had banded together because here we have another widow who had lost her only son. That would have put her in destitution. Jesus sees this great tribulation, this great sadness, and he has gut-wrenching compassion on her. He sees them processing out to that graveyard that day, and he stops the procession. If you've ever been a part of a procession, usually in cars, because at least for us, our cemetery is up the road just a ways. If you've ever been a procession, think about this. Think about another group of people walking out in front of you and this man grabbing the hearse and actually stopping the procession. Nobody would know what was going on. Everyone would think he was crazy. And yet this is exactly what Jesus does. He has compassion on this woman. He stops the funeral. He stops death. For even though this boy was dead, Jesus will make him alive again. He says to the woman, he says, "Do not weep." He says to the man, "Young man, I say to you, arise." The same word of God by which everything was created. The same word of God that washed over you in baptism, that announces your sins are forgiven, and that gives you the body and blood of Jesus, that same word of God proclaimed life into that which was dead. And he does it still today. The boy sits up and he begins to speak. And Jesus gives him to his mother. Fear seized them all and they glorified God. Here you have a community gathering around a woman who had lost her only son, a widow. We've lost a sense of community. We no longer mourn together. We no longer gather together in a cemetery to bury a body, trusting that that body will not stay dead, but that body will rise on the last day. We have tried to sanitize death so much that now when there's an even possibility of death, we freak out. We no longer trust God. We no longer fear, love, and trust in him above all things. No, we have sanitized death to the point where we now fear death. Yes, death is an enemy, but death is an enemy that has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? It is destroyed in the resurrection of the same Jesus who took your sins and my sins upon himself and the sins of the whole world to suffer and die in our stead. That same Jesus has conquered death, not just for himself, but for each and every person who believes in him. On that last day, those bodies that we lay into the ground, peacefully sleeping, awaiting the reuniting of their soul on that day of resurrection, we will be joined with them. About once a week, I try to head up to our cemetery on a walk just to spend time with the bodies, not just empty cases, but bodies that we will see again on that day, to rejoice with the saints who have gone before us. This very morning, when Christ comes to give us his body and blood, he will bring the souls of all those who have confessed him in their lives. As he comes, the whole host of heaven, all of the angels and the archangels, all of your loved ones who have departed in the faith, join us here today as heaven meets earth. Truly think about that. And your joy will be to come here to God's house each and every week. No fear of disease or vice death stop you from being present. On that day, every shall have hung shall pass. Bodies with glory, and body and soul will praise on his throne, the throne of the Lamb and his kingdom which has no end. Here is a foretaste. There is eternity. God has visited his people, the people cried out. And this very morning, God will do it again. For in his supper, he visits you to give you the forgiveness of sins. Death is conquered. The hymn that we sang just before the sermon is a Reformation committal hymn that would be sung as the people would process out to the cemetery. In those days, the children would lead the congregation in song, the community gathering around to proclaim and profess that this body would be raised again. We believe that the body is not to be thrown away or discarded or destroyed, but rather to be put to the ground to rest while it awaits that final day. And think about these words that we sang. We have no cause to mourn or weep. Securely shall this body sleep. Till Christ himself shall death destroy and raise the blessed dead to joy. We mourn here, but not for the person who falls asleep in Jesus. We mourn for ourselves, because in the hope that we have, that person in their soul is rejoicing. We do not mourn as those who are uninformed. Then let us leave this place of rest and homeward turn, for they are blessed who heed God's warning and prepare, lest death should find them unaware. All the preparation that you can do to try to prolong your life will fail on the day that Jesus Christ returns, on the day that he says, I now claim your life. So be prepared in better ways. You can pack up all the paper towels you want, but on that day when Jesus Christ calls you to himself, do not be unaware. Do not let death find you unaware. Be prepared. Be here each and every week to hear his word proclaimed, to receive the forgiveness of sins. Be in God's word each and every single day. Proclaim that word to your loved ones that they may hear the only truth that will save them. The only truth that lasts not just for a lifetime, but for eternity. So help us, Jesus, ground of faith. Thou hast redeemed us by thy death. From endless death and set us free, we laud and praise and worship thee. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, but on that day do not be found unaware. For those who did not confess in their lives will not rejoice for eternity, for theirs will be eternal hell. From whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, our knees bow. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Be rooted and grounded in love. We love because he first loved us. Do not fear anything that this world provides. Do not fear death. It is conquered. It is trampled underfoot. And to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, his is the glory in the church. He is Jesus Christ throughout all generations, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us instead be found in faith in him. We sing the words of Paul Gerhardt, now in Christ, death cannot slay me. Though it might day and night trouble and dismay me, Christ has made my death a portal from the strife of this life to his joy immortal. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Amen. Peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.